a very good evening to you. Welcome along to another Sweet and Swing here on Manx Radio. It's Howard Kane with you for the next hour, as always. And what have we got? Well, some music whilst you work. You're probably not working now. More from our big band themes. Did you get the last one? Bit of Harry Hayes and his band. Some Cab Calloway. But to start us off this evening, let's say hello to Mr. Jellyboard. Splash symbol or similar, just punctuation marks at the end of that piece. Mr. Jellylord to get us going this evening. Jellylord, Jelly Roll Morton, of course. And as the liner notes from this collection of classic jazz piano, the great Orrin Keepnews, who wrote, oh, good Lord knows how many liner notes for Blue Note albums and all sorts back in the day. He says, well, Jelly Roll Morton, a great place to begin, but he does present me a bit of a problem, which is quite typical of this celebrated egotist, he says, also a braggart and, of course, a genius. His few piano solos on Victor aren't among his best efforts, despite his classic solos elsewhere. It can be readily claimed that, much like Duke Ellington, he was most significantly a composer and band leader. And he says, I've compromised in this selection by selecting a trio piece, one of his own tunes in which he plays with strength and inventiveness in the company of the Dodds brothers. Yes, Johnny Dodds being one of them, of course, two New Orleans-born players who are among Morton's most valuable colleagues. And yeah, I think that had lots of verve and inventiveness and of its time, as they say. And he was a braggart, I think, and claimed he'd invented jazz. And I think that's what Orrin is referring to there. And there's no great evidence to suggest he invented jazz. He might have been there in the early days, but I don't think he invented it, although he would try and convince you otherwise. As for his name, he was actually Ferdinand, I think. that was his real name. Jelly Roll? Well, I suggest you look that up on Mr. Wiki or somewhere online to find out where he got the name Jelly Roll from. I'll give you a clue. It was to do with his early life playing in brothels. We'll leave it there, shan't we? How are we? I trust you are managing from what's been a fairly blustery, cold spell of late, so we'll try and keep things warm and cosy on Sweet and Swing, and hope you're warm and cosy inside, enjoying the music somewhere along the lines. A bit of Glenn Miller coming up later on as well. We haven't had any Glenn for a while, and I found one lurking in the nether regions. Blew the dust off, so we can't have played it for some time. But for now, oh, and some Harry Hayes as well, I think I mentioned as well. But coming up now, what about a flute? Well, I say, what about a flute? To be more exact, what I mean is toot toot tootle on your flutel.
Talk most every day about some new game you must play. Now they've found another one for you, and this one is rather cute. You just get a little flute, and whatever happens, this you do. If you want a life of bliss, all you have to do is this: toot toot tootle on your flute. First thing when you wake each morn, just before you start to yawn, toot toot tootle on your flute. Instead of going up the scale with do, re, mi, whistle like the birdies do, and happy you'll be. If you meet a sweet young miss just before you steal a kiss, toot toot tootle on your flute. If you want to, just before you toot toot tootle on your flute, first thing when you, just before you toot toot tootle on your flute. Instead of going up the scale with do, re, mi, whistle like the birdies do, and happy you be. If you meet her just before you, toot toot tootle on your flute.
Told you. Toot toot tootle on your flute. I think we can call that a novelty number, can we? Sort of sounds like a novelty number. Written by Ronnie Munro, who'd been musical director at Parlophone during the latter half of the 1920s and took over the new Mayfair Dance Orchestra in mid 1937, and that was from January 1938. Toot-toot-toodle on your flute. Leslie Sarony was the composer, and Leslie Sarony was taking the vocals on that one as well. Ah, interesting, isn't it? Good fun, you'd have to say, one way or another. And the new Mayfair Dance Orchestra, as I think we said a couple of weeks back, one of those orchestras which sounded like it was a dance band, and the new, hence the name, and yet it only really existed on paper. It never actually was a real band. It was just put together to play for recordings and such like. Not what you can say about R. Glenn. And like I said, I blew the dust off this one. Volume 6, I don't think, or if there are another 5 volumes of it, I certainly don't have them. The Missing Chapters, Volume 6, Blue Champagne. This is entitled. Could have been part of a box set, but yeah. Where the rest of the box set is, well, I don't know. Featuring the band of the Army Air Forces Training Command under the direction of Captain, well, of course, Glenn Miller. What about this one? Holiday for Strings.
Thank you. get you. It's made to order for you. I just bet it's a cinch you follow up these red hot blues. Grab a taxi and go down. Chinatown's on a spree. Let me give you the lowdown. This is really history. Whenever folks in Chinatown start acting gay, there's something in the air that makes them feel that way. Yeah, man, I heard somebody say it's Minnie the Moocher's wedding day. Old Smokey Joe's so happy he could hardly wait. He spent $1 million for his wedding cake. Yeah, man, they're gonna celebrate. It's Minnie the Moocher's wedding day. You better come on down.
You better come on down.
Way down to Chinatown.
Way down to Chinatown.
Oh, let me take you down. See them kick the gong around. A million cokies shouting, hey, dee, hey, dee, hey. The King of Sweden's gonna give the ride away. Yeah, man, I heard somebody say it's Minnie the Moocher's wedding day. The king and queen of every nation, we're glad to get an invitation. The Prince of Wales said he would get away for Minnie the Moocher's wedding day.
Minnie the Moocher's wedding day.
They said 100,000 hoppies went over to China picking poppies. They're gonna put them all in one bouquet. Minnie the Moocher's wedding day.
Minnie the Moocher's wedding day.
Hotty, hotty, hot.
Hotty, hotty, hot.
Money, oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wedding,
wedding.
Oh, it's Minnie the Moocher's wedding day.
Yeah, man.
Why, what's that them boys say? It's Minnie the Moocher's wedding day.
Were you there for the wedding day? Sounded like quite an event down in Chinatown there. The unmistakable voice, of course, of Cab Calloway, capitalising on the success, I think, of Minnie the Moocher, and it's not that far removed, is it? Even with the chorus, wait. Great catchy stuff, though. In any case, you can hardly blame him for having another crack at that one. And another band I'd have loved to have seen live in their pomp, along with Fats Waller and indeed Glenn Miller, for that matter. I think Fats would possibly top my list. Minnie or Cab Calloway or such like, Louis Jordan would have been a great to see live. Duke Ellington, yeah, well, would have been. To be honest, there's quite a few of them, but I just think some of them were more showmen than others, I guess. And sadly, there's very few of them I actually saw in their pomp, certainly of the big bands in any case. Did see the world's greatest jazz band at one stage, I think. And before that, speaking of the world's greatest jazz band, this might have been it for some, I think. Glenn Miller and his orchestra from a collection, as I say, called The Missing Chapters, Glenn Miller Blue Champagne, Volume 6. And as it's noted, the recordings are unique. The orchestra had some of the finest musicians and arrangers ever assembled in one unit during the swing era, and they reached a peak of worldwide popularity never equaled, it's claimed, before or since. The recording of that one, the Holiday for Strings, lovingly restored by the sound engineer Dave Bennett using state-of-the-art computers and equipment. This was a few years back, it has to be said, 1995, so we've probably improved quite a bit since then, but nonetheless cleaned up the recordings quite a bit. And of course, when Glenn ended his civilian orchestra, signed up and then formed the Army Air Force Orchestra, he had the authority to recruit men from anywhere in the services and scoured the services for the best musicians and, of course, especially some of his old players from his civilian orchestra days, and found people like his old bassist, Trigger Alpert, the trumpeter Zeke Zarkey, the trombonist Jimmy Priddy, and his old key arranger, perhaps most importantly, Jerry Gray, who went on, of course, to lead the band after Glenn's disappearance. And also a lot of famous musicians have been in other bands. Peanuts Hooko from the Will Bradley Ray McKinley band. Mel Powell, who's with Benny Goodman, and a guitarist Carmen Mastron from Tommy Dorsey, amongst others. And a great sound there on there. It is nicely cleaned up and quite dramatic sounding as well, that version of Holiday for Strings. Now, how'd you get on a couple of weeks back when I thought we'd have another little play around with some of the themes of the big bands? I'd play you some and then see if you can nominate them. So I didn't tell you who it was. What did I play? Oh, yes, here we are. This is what we played last time around. I'll give you a little sample again. Remember this one? So, did you have any idea who that might have been? Answers on a postcard, as they say. Well, you didn't need to. But if you got it, you can give yourself a big congratulations.
Hooray!
That's it. That's all you're going to get. A Manx Radio Purple mug goes to anyone who could have got in there. But I didn't see my name on with the right answer, so I'll just have to tell you, won't I? That was indeed Rudy Valley. My time is your time. So you could have had a Manx Radio mug there if you got off your backside and just told me or sent me an email, Howard Kane with an E at manxradio.com. You can post in because you've got time before they'll be jumping in next week. So there is time in between. So you can post in to Howard Kane, Sweet and Swing, Manx Radio, Broadcasting House, Douglas Head, Douglas in the Isle of Man, if you want to put a pen to paper, as it were, and that postcode IM15BW, but Howard Kane with an E at manxradio.com is a lot faster. So, if you fancy a Manx Radio mug, or even an air freshener, or something along those lines, might even find you more than that. Do you know, this is a tricky one, I think, but if you know, have a go, as they say. Whose band was this the theme?
Thank you.
taken it quite a lick, it has to be said. So, who or whose theme tune was that? I'll give you a bit of a clue. The original 1916 novelty tune. New York-born composer, pianist and organist Felix Arndt wrote that one and named it after his wife, and was then adopted and recorded in 1922 by the person there whose theme it became, a pianist, a composer, and his catchphrase was, "Hello, everybody." Not entirely unique, I know, but it was quite often slipped in between his Christian name and his surname. Gave the first live US radio broadcast from WJX in Newark in 1921 and was a pioneer of the TV chat show. But who was it? Howard Kane with an E at manxradio.com. If you want to have a go, or like I said, you can drop me a postcard as well. Howard Kane at Manx Radio, Sweet and Swing Broadcasting House, Douglas Head, Douglas Isle of Man. And yeah, if you get it right and you get in there quickly, Manx Radio mug, air freshener, even a goodie bag possibly, if I can snaffle one from the cupboard somewhere. Why not give it a go? And yeah, well done if you did get it right, but just didn't bother with the time, My Time Is Your Time, which was the last one we did a couple of weeks ago. The Depression-era heartthrob vocalist and Vermont-born saxophonist, vocalist, clarinetist, composer, actor, singer, Rudy Valley. That was his theme tune, of course. You're listening to Sweet and Swing with myself, H. Lovely to have your company. And here's a man who is no stranger to Manx shores and something of a legend himself in his own time, Mr. Nat Ganella.
Can't give you anything but love, baby. That's the only thing I've got plenty of, baby. Dream a while, scheme a while, babe. You sure to find happiness, and I guess all those things you've always pined for. Gee, I'd like to see you looking swell. Smile, baby. Diamond bracelets, all worth dozen sell. Lucky day, lucky day. You know darn well. Oh babe, babe, baby, I can't give you anything but love. Thank you. day. Lucky day. You know damn well. Oh baby, 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 baby.
Recorded pretty late on in his career, as you can probably tell from the voice there, 1998. Don't know what age he was there, but it was certainly towards, very much towards the back end of his career. Bearing in mind, of course, he'd been famous and playing in the 1930s, so there's already at least 60-odd years or more, and he would have been 20, so it's got to be in his late 70s, 80s, late 80s there, maybe in his 80s, yeah, something along those lines. And with his Georgians, the old maestro used to say, one of the bands that turned him on to jazz in the first place when he saw Nat Canella and his Georgians with his own father, my grandfather. And that turned him on to a lifelong love of jazz. Great cornet player and trumpet player, of course. A unique singing style, I think you could call it. And as it's remarked on in the notes there, Nat's style of singing could well be described as out of Louis with Cockney overtones. Yeah, that's pretty accurate, I'd have thought. You got a hint of that there anyway, maybe not as much as you might hear when he was a younger man. But it was available that Lou Stone, like Roy Fox before him, quickly recognised and sort of capitalised on. However, it's noted here, it failed to merit the approval of Edward Ted Lewis, the head of Decca in his early years. After a Roy Fox recording of Georgia, he wrote to the band leader complaining, "You spoilt an excellent recording by that appalling vocal refrain. If you put out any more records like this, the public will soon switch their interests elsewhere." Wasn't mentioning his words there, was he? Well, and it turns out, of course, he was totally wrong in that. He had a very distinctive voice and sang all his life to a great aplomb. It just goes to prove you don't have to be a Frank Sinatra or have the most beautiful voice in the world to still be popular, as long as it's distinctive. That's the main thing. I don't think anyone would suggest that Nat Canella was a great vocalist in the sort of classical sense or the sense of having a beautiful voice. But from the point of view of conveying a song and having an instantly recognisable and distinctive voice, he was up there with some of the best. Oh,
Oh,
Civic Auditorium, Pasadena, California, April the 29th. That was 1947. 1947. You recognise the track, I feel certain. Perdido. Of course you recognise that. Juan Tizol wrote it, I think, when he was with Duke Ellington, didn't he? And a great track it is as well. Taking it a good old lick there as well, it has to be said. A recording, a little bit ropey. Maybe it's now, I'm assuming it was an air shot or something along the line, but you get a great gist of it, and clearly it was well received and probably a great gig, I would imagine. As well it should be, because it was a cracking band. It was Chuck Peterson on a trumpet, Vic Dickinson trombone, Benny Carter on alto sax, Charlie Barnett and tenor, the undersung hero of sort of swing to bebop piano, Dodo Marmarosa, who sort of disappeared into the ether, I think, on the piano. Irving Ashby guitar, Red Callender on bass, and Jackie Mills at the drums. Great stuff. Immortal Concerts from Giants of Jazz series, I think that one, back in the day. I think that's, are they still going, the Giants of Jazz? I know I've got quite a few, and the old maestro collected quite a few as well. They used to be a good value, cheap recordings, although maybe the emphasis on the cheap to a degree. We'll go from sublime to the ridiculous, ridiculous to the sublime, depending on which way you look at it, and possibly going into Morris Powell territory here on a little light music with our selection we dip into from time to time of the Great British Experience, some light music classics which fit clearly, that one we've just had, very much in the swing side of Sweet and Swing. And so just to prove that we do both, we'll play something very much from the sweet side of Sweet and Swing. This is definitely sweet. It's definitely popular. Do you remember the series? Don't write in on this one, because I'll tell you in a minute. You'll either get it straight away, or you'll be thinking about it for ages. Thank you. March from A Little Suite from the Great British Experience Collection, written by Trevor Duncan, who was a BBC sound engineer who composed the music during his spare time. He was a talented chap, wasn't he? By the mid-1950s, he'd become so successful at the composing side that he gave up his day job to concentrate on writing. And in the ensuing years, he created an astonishing number of works, many of which went on to become really well known through television programmes or such like, as themes, of course. And that one was perhaps the most famous. The March from A Little Suite, which the BBC chose as the theme for, altogether now, Dr. Finlay's Casebook. Yes, of course. You knew. Of course you knew. Who didn't? Even I knew that one. I might do another one next time, which is a little bit harder, I reckon. Yeah, we'll see. I'll keep that in the bag for the time being. Music While You Work. Well, back in the day, used to in any case, and a very popular band in their time with a unique sound, Troyce and his Banjoliers. Not quite there yet, but that was A Midnight Prowl with Harry Hayes and his band. And before that, the strangely addictive sound of Troyce and his mandoliers whistling Rufus. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Look after yourselves. I'll see you then. Cheerio.